King of the Worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, we're going to look at a vegan, a cardiologist, a practicing cardiologist, who is explaining his longevity and his health, and he's 104 years of age. Also, we're going to look at a person testifying under oath before a congressional committee on the safety of vaccines and their relationship directly with autism. Now that one of the top lawyers on the panel is really challenging him, I wanted to hear how he responds in clear, succinct, and documenting evidence. Also, but the CDC and this committee didn't do a thing with that information. Also, isn't it time that we all began to find an ending to the chapters we spend too much time in our lives focusing on, obsessing about, worrying, concern, and start writing a new chapter? Prince EA has something to say on that. For those of you who cannot always be by a land-based radio station or on the internet, let me give the phone numbers that you can call and either download programs from our archives anytime you want, 24/7, or listen live, Monday to Friday, noon to 1. Here are the numbers. Please write them down. The number to call to listen live is 641-793-7091. Again, 641-793-7091. To listen on the archives, which most people do, it's 701-719-9976, 701-719-9976. And to give you an idea how many people are listening over the telephone from anywhere, there's a service that features, streams, 15,000 programs and growing, including Michael Savage, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, all of the people who use the internet a lot. And including, let's see, on both conservative and liberal, and Alex Jones, we have more people listening to this show over the internet than all of them combined. So it's a major way that people are getting to listen to the show. Now we're going to go to the latest on health and healing, and the first study starts from Harvard School of Public Health. And it was published in the Journal of the American Academy of Neurology. And it talks about orange juice and leafy green vegetables and berries. Now, that's pretty much a lot of what people on a vegan diet would be consuming, different juices on a daily basis, different mixed greens and different berries. But eating these leafy greens and dark oranges and red vegetables and berries and drinking orange juice is now, according to this study published in Neurology, lowering your risk of memory loss over time. That's important. Quote, one of the most important factors in this study is that we were able to research and track such a large group of men over a 20-year period of time, allowing for very telling results. Our studies provide further evidence dietary choices can be important to maintaining your brain health. And by the way, it was 27,842 men. The average age was 51, and it just looked at how many servings of fruits and vegetables and juices that they had, and what were those, and it helps protect your brain, and orange juice was right up at the top. Now, I'm hopeful that they're organic oranges. From Cancer Research, United Kingdom, an article about D-mannose, M-A-N-N-O-S-E, That's a D-mannose sugar. And it slows tumor growth and can improve cancer treatment. Mannose sugar, which is a nutritional supplement, it's found in most fruits, can both slow tumor growth and enhance the effects of chemotherapy in this with multiple types of cancer. This was a laboratory experiment, and the results were published in Nature, the most respected scientific journal in the world. Tumors use more glucose than normal and than other cells. And it's very hard to control the amount of glucose in your body through diet alone. In this study, researchers found that mannose can interfere with glucose to reduce how much sugar cancer cells can use. And here's what the head researcher said. He said, quote, "One of the most important factors in this study is that we were able to research and track such a large group of people who were using these, you know, sugars, and they were able to isolate this. And tumors need a lot of glucose, meaning they need a lot of sugar to grow. So limiting the amount that they can use should slow cancer progression. The problem is that normal tissue needs glucose as well, so we can't completely remove it from the body. In our study, we found a dose of mannose that can block enough glucose to slow tumor growth, and this was in mice, but not so much that normal tissue was affected. So that's very promising, and I look forward to sharing more on that when it comes out. I've seen probably in the neighborhood of 100-plus studies on the benefits of natural cacao or dark chocolate. And as you know, by listening to this program, there's healthy chocolate and unhealthy chocolate. The dark chocolate, sweetened with either coconut sugar or stevia, is fine. No additives, no binders. Then the milk chocolate with white table sugar, sucrose, is not. This is from the National Institutes of Mental Health and Neuroscience, and it says that dark chocolate enhances cognitive function. Well, that's a big deal. And this study was published in the Journal of Dietary Supplements, and researchers at the National Institutes of Mental Health and Neuroscience orally gave, 400 milligrams, that's a small amount, per milligram per kilogram of body weight of dark chocolate, containing 70% cacao solids and 4% total polyphenol content each day for 3 months. And it was good, especially in the risk of diabetes, obesity, cognitive decline, and Alzheimer's disease. So, one more reason to eat your chocolate. I'm going to be doing a whole presentation from a PhD in science on the dangers of cell phones that no one even knew about. I just watched this early this morning, and I'll play it on our next program. But now, just to let you know, because it was on this topic of cell phone danger that we were not aware of, from the National Toxicological Program at the National Institutes of Health, there's a clear cell phone cancer link, but the FDA is downplaying it. So a recent study by the National Toxicology Program at the National Institutes of Health shows clear evidence of a causal link between cancer and exposure to wireless cell phone signals. And this was a $30 million study demonstrating cell phone radiation caused Schwann cell cancers of the heart and brain gliomas and in rats, as well as DNA damage in the brain. I've probably presented around 30 to 40 different studies showing the harm of these cell phones, but people sleep with them under their pillows, especially young people. Babies and toddlers, are with these games, and that radiate also, especially now with the more powerful G5 systems. So these are very dangerous. I'll be doing a full lay article on this very topic. Also, this is separate. This is from the Federal University of Rio Grande in Brazil, as well as Hebrew University in Jerusalem, and from the Prevent Cancer Now. And they found that absorption of wireless radiation in the child versus adult brain and the eye from cell phone conversations or virtual reality. As you know, they're wearing these virtual reality headsets that beams in a lot of electromagnetic pulses. So here are the highlights of their studies. More cell phone radiation is absorbed by children's inner brain than adults. Children's radio frequency radiation exposure must be reduced. Further research to evaluate the risk to the eye from the use of these systems is urgently needed and is biologically relevant and feasible to reduce the standard's averaging volume. And the current methods we're using to test these should be revised. Now, why it should be revised, this will be all explained on our next program, which shows you the fraud of the industry doing health studies on their own products. It's stupid. And it shows what happens when one country, France, actually use them in real life situations, not some laboratory. Remember, in a laboratory, they're not testing a cell phone on the body. I mean, where do you put a cell phone? In your back pocket, front pocket? And it's right up against the body. But in the laboratory, there's no body to put it against. So they're doing artificial measurements. Whole lot of difference when you do it in real-world situations. But just remember this. Children's brains are more susceptible to hazardous exposures and are thought to absorb higher doses of radiation from cell phones in many regions of the brain. And globally, the number of applications of wire phone devices is increasing. And unfortunately, the science is not showing that they're safe. And from the University of Belgrade, as well as Al Jabal and Al Gabriya University in Libya, probiotics can reduce cadmium toxicity. So taking probiotics can help reduce this heavy metal, cadmium. And that was published in the Journal of Medicinal Food. So take your probiotics every day, and it can help lower the risk of heavy metal toxicity. And finally, from Newcastle University, which is in the United Kingdom, treating COPD patients for anxiety using CBT reduces hospital visits and is cost-effective. Now, cognitive behavioral therapy, that's CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, delivered by respiratory nurses, is cost-effective and reduces anxiety symptoms in chronic obstructive pulmonary disease patients. And this was published in the ERJ Open Research. For those of you who are not familiar with it, COPD is a long-term condition that causes inflammation in the lungs, and it narrows the airways and damages lung tissue, making breathing difficult. And anxiety often occurs alongside of COPD and can mean that patients do less physical activity, leading to less fitness exercise and hence less fitness. And also they tend to be more in isolation and their health deteriorates rather rapidly. So this is just another way to help them, and that's good. And just one last one. This is the University of East Anglia, and they show that living near or close to nature makes people healthier. Now, there are a lot of studies on this, and living around trees and parks, ponds, lakes, mountains, it helps reduce stress and premature death. And in the study, the term green space pertains to open, undeveloped land with natural vegetation, as well as urban spaces with plants like parks and street greenery, to arrive at their conclusion. And the authors reviewed 103 separate studies and 40 international studies covering 100 health outcomes. It reduces stress, hence less cortisol, the stress hormone. It allows for a healthier heart. Several studies have shown that hypertension, high blood pressure is reduced. The LDL cholesterol is reduced. The good HDL cholesterol is increased. Lower heart rate means that your heart will live longer. And all these things happen along with reduced diabetes and healthier pregnancy and longer life, all because of spending time in green spaces. I'm Gary Nall. That's the latest on health and healing. We're 15 minutes into our program. We're going to take a brief break and come back. Please stay with us. To welcome all of you from all over the world. I'm Gary Nall on the road, doing a lot of filming, a lot of investigative journalism, all of which we'll be showing in the very near future. Plus, two separate major books are coming out very shortly. We always set aside a segment to talk about the environment. And these are major publications like The Ecologist. And they're saying that Bolsonaro, and I've done a whole hour interview with one of his leading critics, who's the new president of Brazil. Here's what it says. Bolsonaro's deforestation has begun. Quote, during the electoral season that brought him to power in Brazil, deforestation of the Amazon increased by 50% during just 3 months of the electoral season. That means the forest lost 1,674 square kilometers from August to October, an area more than double the size of New York City. The main culprit was the conversion of forest to pasture. The largest increase was in the border area between the Amazonian states, and the deforestation increased there. And it's saying that deforestation usually increases in Brazil's electoral years, and amid promises from local politicians, they will open up unprotected land or make environmental legislation more flexible. They're meaning it's open for business, and now more than ever before. So that's not cool. Separately, this is from Emily Thornberry from The Guardian. The famine facing Yemen is a war crime. It must be investigated. Quote, the Saudi-led coalition has deliberately targeted civilians. The United Kingdom must press for answers, not to be complicit in a cover-up. Today, the UN Security Council will debate a UK-drafted resolution containing a rather gentle entry to the warring parties in Yemen. It will ask them to take, quote, constant care to spare civilian objects, including those necessary for food production, distribution, processing, storage. If that sounds like the safety instructions for a new vacuum cleaner, then welcome to the world of the UN resolutions. But what it actually reveals is a far darker, more shameful truth, the truth of a Saudi-led coalition armed by Britain and the United States, and by the way, also France, from which the very start of the conflict in 2015 has sought to use starvation as a weapon of war. So put this in perspective. You have a president that's quite simply saying, look, we want to do business and we want to make all this money. So if he killed and knew about intentionally killing this journalist, so be it. That's one man compared to all the other jobs and money. That's his rationale. Others have done the same thing, except without the kind of hateful, spiteful, absolutely numbingly stupid personality he projects. And it is an embarrassment. But remember, it was Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton that destroyed Libya. And they were not criticized for that, nor the consequences of that. And I want to share this with you because I just got this. Now, it's short, but boy, it makes a point. This is from Timothy Bancroft and Hinchy, and it says the following. (Clears throat) after Obama, Cameron, and Sarkozy committed a spectacular mission creep, violating the terms of the UN Charter and the UNSC resolutions 1970-1973, I wrote the following indictment along with some colleagues. And again, no one is focusing upon this in the media, and I believe they should. But then again, if they focused upon this, they would have to look at the environmental devastation, the human rights devastations in violation in Libya. So you're talking about one journalist, and every life has a purpose and should be sacred. But what does it say when we allow 19 million lives to be adversely affected and over 100,000 children killed, and with the intent to destroy their hospitals, their waterworks? These are all crimes against humanity. Not a word about that in the American media. Quote, because they would be considered complicit because this didn't start under Trump. This started under Clinton and Obama. To put everything in context, this is the journalist now. Let us study a few figures about Libya in 2010, the year before the unrest spurred on by the West, in which terrorists were armed and abetted. Terrorists on the Fucus Axis own list of prescribed groups to destabilize the country. What that means is there was no internal uprising in Libya, as we were lied to and fed the propaganda, especially by the left. To the contrary, the terrorists were funded, trained in Turkey and Saudi Arabia and Israel and brought into Libya. And they came armed. Quote, gross domestic product down from $188 billion to $64 billion. Gross domestic product in U.S. in 2010 versus 2017. Gross domestic product per capita, meaning the average Libyan earned $31,094 U.S. dollars in 2010. In 2017, it was down to $9,988 U.S. dollars, 300% loss. The inflation rate was 2.5% in 2010 and rose to 26% in 2017. And in 2010, under Gaddafi, homelessness was zero. Homes were guaranteed and were free. Electricity was free. Bank loans carried 0% interest rate. Farmers were given land, a house and seeds, and equipment for free to set up farms in the interior of the country, where the great man-made river irrigation project was in the Sahara. NATO bombed the water supply network, bombed the tubes factory so that it could not be repaired, then bombed the electrical grid, quote, to break their backs, end quote. Newly married couples in Libya in 2010 and before received $50,000 U.S. Education was free. Medical care was free. Higher education was free. And if you wanted to study anywhere else in the world, all your tuition was paid, plus you were given $2,300 U.S. per month and a car allowance. Also, Libyans who needed health care abroad traveled for free, and their treatment was paid by Libya. Unemployed graduates received the average salary for the profession they wished to practice in until they could find a job. The state paid 50% of the price of a car. Mothers were given $5,000 upon giving birth. And to put this into context, you could buy 3 loaves of bread for 1 penny before. And then Libyans were not literate before Gaddafi. 75% were illiterate. They couldn't read or write. At the time of the bombing, the literacy rate was 100% for use and 87% nationally. That was the highest literacy rate in the world, by the way. The external debt of Libya was zero, and it had reserves of $150 billion in U.S. banks. The Axis stole all this, and today the country's reserve remained frozen. Libya had the highest human development index in Africa, and Gaddafi was to receive a prize from the United Nations organization for his development work. All right, and his crime, he planned to drop the U.S. dollar for transactions and replace it with an African currency, the gold denier, which would have deprived the Western bankers of the billions of dollars that he used in his oil trading. His e-learning projects and telemedicine networks set up in Africa were already depriving Western telecom giants many millions in lost revenue. Libya today does not have the resources to deal with illegal immigrants, trafficking by gangs, or selling them as slaves in open-air markets. Today, Libya does not have the resources to deal with terrorism. It is a failed state. Al-Qaeda, all of the different terrorist groups are in very large numbers in Libya. So here's a question. Why hasn't any of this been in a discussion point? Because what we're doing in what we did in Libya, and look at it today, we are doing in Yemen. It is a failed state. It is the worst humanitarian crisis in the world, and you wouldn't hear a word about this. Or the complicity of how this came to be with the Obamas and followed up by Trump. So just something that we talk about because we want to make it an issue and the others do not. Oh, and by the way, talking about how regressive we are, this is a recent ruling in the last week. The U.S. is moving backwards. Female genital mutilation is now considered not unconstitutional, according to the ruling of a federal judge, and that means that young girls are being put at risk. So campaigners say the ruling will affect tens of thousands of girls and could turn the 23 U.S. states that do not have anti-female genital mutilation laws into destination states for doing this circumcision, cutting a little girl's clitoris off. They really, it's barbaric. And yet now, this judge said, no, it's not unconstitutional. That's how far back and we've regressed in our society. Oh, and by the way, the IRS has now hired private debt collectors who are squeezing poor people and hurricane victims. That's correct. The IRS program using private debt collections to handle delinquent tax bills is improperly demanding payment from hurricane victims and squeezing some of the poorest Americans, all the while turning a profit far below the industry standards. So since April of 2017, four debt collection companies have been assigned 500,000 delinquent taxpayers to contact. So far, they've brought in less than 1% of what Congress hopes the program will ultimately generate. So just imagine, we take people who've been harmed by the natural occurrences, who have no resources, they're already poor, and we're saying, we don't care if your home was destroyed and you can't live in it, you owe us money. And they're using debtors' prisons, they're arresting people, SWAT raids. That's what we become? Why isn't anyone taking credit for that? They should. Because that's what we have become. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment. But before we come back, I want you to hear this. We're going to go right to this vegan heart surgeon who's 104 years of age.
to be sort of in the fringe, you know. Those are people that are sort of extreme, you know, they'd be here, dairy products. But I want to point out to you that when Esselstyn and Ornish reversed coronary artery disease, they reversed it. Coronary artery disease kills one-third of the people in the United States, and they reversed it. You just stop and think about that. See, how, what did they do it on? They did it on a vegan, low-fat diet. You see, the only two people who've ever demonstrated in the laboratory, that is by coronary angiography, that they can arrest and reverse coronary artery disease are Esselstyn of the Cleveland Clinic and Ornish of the University of San Francisco. Now, you just can't grasp the importance of this. The average person doesn't even grasp what we're talking about. But when you consider that one-third of the people in the United States will die of coronary disease, one-third, this is what Esselstyn says. My message is clear and absolute. Coronary artery disease need not exist, and if it does, it need not progress. That's what Esselstyn says. And both of them have shown that they can reverse it.
Okay, there's a physician, 104 years of age, completely healthy, and he attributes it to his plant-based diet. So show me how many meat eaters, physicians, heart surgeons, and he's a heart surgeon, are 104 and still able to practice. Now I want you to hear the testimony of a physician, board-certified physician and scientist, before a CDC panel where he's being grilled by aggressive lawyers, and listen to his answers. This is short, but nowhere did the mainstream media pick this up.
Of a reputable peer-reviewed study that links childhood autism with immunizations.
Okay, so you asked me that question. So the answer is yes. And I think I probably could lay my hands on at least 20, if not potentially over 100 articles that directly or indirectly look at this issue. As you know, it's a highly controversial issue. It's a debated issue. It could, if we really wanted to do justice to that issue, it would take us well over an hour, perhaps several days. But do you want me to give you a short answer to that question?
Well, I heard you say articles. I just want to make sure we're talking apples and apples.
Okay.
I know the difference between an article and a peer-reviewed study. Has there been a statistically valid peer-reviewed study that links autism to childhood immunization?
And I believe the answer is yes.
How many are there?
And I on the way down, my wife and I were talking about 28 articles that she had in one reference list.
Again, you go back to articles. Are you still saying the same thing I am?
I believe I am. I believe, you know, every article gets a PMID number, PubMed.
Yeah, but I know that articles are also peer-reviewed. I'm talking about a statistically valid study where, you know, you could study five people and get a right. whole different answer if you study 10 million people.
Okay, all right. So I think we need to be fair, we need to talk about the article that is quoted most widely to say there's no relationship between autism and vaccines. That's an article that was in the 2004 issue of the journal Pediatrics, highly respected journal. The first author was Frank DiStefano. He was from the CDC. And one of the authors, the author in charge of the statistics for that study was William Thompson. You may or may not recall, it did make national news a couple years ago. William Thompson is a senior scientist at the CDC. He came out and he said, we committed fraud with the publication of that article. It sounds like you're aware of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And really, I was asking you, and I appreciate that one, and you're welcome to tell me about that one. I was really asking you in the other direction, though. Are you aware of a study that meets my parameters that links autism or immunizations to childhood autism?
And I think I'll send you a list of them if that's all right.
Again, you keep saying articles. I'm saying studies. Are they articles?
Yeah. Well, it's a study that's reported in an article. I'm sorry. Physicians' studies and articles
we lawyers have different.
Are synonymous. Different okay, right. Reported articles. Reported studies, which becomes an article. But if I can just finish the point. So if this was read into the congressional record by Congressman Bill Posey from Florida. He had pages of data, research showing that African-American boys were three times more likely to have autism if they had received an MMR vaccination. And it sounds like you may be aware of that study. So if that is true, and it was read into the congressional record, and William Thompson has admitted it's true, and we are now actually having a congressional committee investigating, subpoena him. So it could be within a month, you and I are both going to know there is a scientifically valid study in our recent literature that will show there's a link. There's an association. I'm not saying cause and effect. I'm saying an association.
Right. Okay. I'd sure like to see that, doctor.
Sure.
Always enjoyed debating physicians. They know so much more.
For those of you who may not be aware of what they were discussing, we have over 30 articles, all peer-reviewed, from studies. And the lawyer is not stupid. He was just being foolishly disingenuous. You do a study. The study then is submitted for publication as an article. The article must represent the full merits of the study, its abstract, its conclusions, its methodology, its authors, etc. And these show it an association, statistically significant association. But what he was referring to was Dr. William Thompson was not aware that the man Brian Hooker, Dr. Brian Hooker, professor out in California, whose son had autism from vaccine damage, and Thompson, instead of sending him through the mail a Freedom of Information Act request answers, he got on the phone with him and he began to speak with him. And over a period of time, they developed this relationship where Thompson, in effect, was doing a mea culpa. He was telling him the following: we lied, we committed fraud, we actually had a 324% increase in autism spectrum disorder in African-American children 36 months or younger, and we hid this. Now, this is way back in the early 2002. And as a result, the people who involved were told to bring all their documents to Thompson's office, and in black garbage bags, they took all the data and they destroyed it. Except he was afraid what would happen if he was asked to testify before Congress in a court hearing, and he showed that he had engaged in obstruction of justice by destroying the evidence. So he kept a copy that no one knew about. What he didn't know was that Dr. Hooker was tape recording his calls. And so one day Hooker called him and said, I think it's time that you told the world, you know, the truth. And he did. And then the CDC, which is a military organization, by the way, unlike other organizations, the federal government is actually run based upon rank and officers, and they have very strict protocols. And they shut him up. He was going to leave. And they had been able to stonewall having him testify under oath before Congress. This is going on 4 or 5 years. They've kept him from testifying before Congress. Now, you would think that the President of the United States would encourage that openness. And the President of the United States, as Commander-in-Chief, has enormous influence with the CDC. And Barack Obama did not use it. And Donald Trump has not used it. So the powerful pharmaceutical industry, if this came out, why did you cover up this? What was your motive, your governmental agency? You would have thought that the African-American community would be outraged by this. It was not, unfortunately. And you would have thought that the Black Caucus would be behind exposing the truth. Unfortunately, they were not. Only those within the communities of color who were progressive spoke out, wrote out, and did something. But it's one of these horror stories that are sitting right there in clear view, and no one's touched it. No one on CNN, I wouldn't expect those clowns to touch anything, honest. No one anywhere has touched this. We have, but no one else has. You can see our treatment of it in Deadly Deception, the multi-award-winning documentary we did on it. And I had Dr. Hooker on the program discussing this, and Representative Posey from Florida representing it. So that's the part of the argument, more background on it, so you understand what they were talking about. So the federal government, the CDC, is fully aware that they're nothing but a criminal organization. The Tuskegee experiment, no one was held accountable. And once again, we're dealing with African-American children. No one's held accountable. And they've engaged in criminal acts. No one's held accountable. But that's our entire federal government cesspool. Anyhow, that's that. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. Recently, I was offered a challenge by someone who clearly doesn't do their homework. And about, well, if you were really helping people, the medical community would pay attention. You think? I've taken completely disease-reversed individuals before large groups of scientists. I published in peer-reviewed literature. It was all done for free. There's no profit incentive. Not a single person followed up. Well, I find that hard to believe. Mm-hmm. Well, what would you imagine could happen in just 1 week retreat? If you went to a yoga retreat, you'd have a good time. Your body would benefit. You'd be relaxed. If you went to a cooking retreat, you'd benefit too. Come back with a lot of new skills in the kitchen and expand your repertory. But that's not what the retreats I do are about. They're meant to help people change perceptions, change their reality, if they believe it's the right time for them to do so. Here are some individuals who returned from the last retreat, and this is specifically to Charles, the person who doesn't believe that Orthodox medicine wouldn't jump on anything new. Well, Charles, let's see if they would speak with any of the people you're going to listen to now.
Hi, this is Damien, and I've just completed a week's retreat with Gary. The main reason I came here was to go through a change, and that's what I've done. I accomplished what I came out here to do. The effect out here is very positive, and it made the change that much easier to transition, and it was just so great. If you're not a vegan and you had any meal here, you would swear that it wasn't vegan. It was so nutritious. It just, everything was good. Every meal topped the previous one. And even the first meal was great. Just walking around on the grounds has such a calming effect on your whole body, mentally, physically, emotionally. It's the right place to be. Whatever time you get here is going to be the right time. I interviewed with Luann to come here because she interviews everyone. And she told me there was going to be work involved. That was correct. She told me the food was going to be great. That was correct. She told me the atmosphere was going to be very positive. That was great. What she didn't tell me was the incredible people that I was going to encounter when I came here. That was such a great surprise. In such a good way. The people here were just incredible. It was a benefit and a bonus I didn't think I was going to get, but it was so great. What I'm going to take home with me is that I'm going to take the change that I started here and just continue it at home. And I know that will stay with me because it started here. The support that I had here will carry me when I get back home. And that's what I'm going to take with me. The change here started, and I'm just going to take it with me and complete it when I get back home.
My name is Carol. I'm on my first retreat, and I came because of a very serious health challenge that I am facing. And I am not the kind of person that gives up. I was very close, I think, to, I don't want to say giving up, but not really knowing a direction that I thought could help me. And I have found a tremendous amount of help right here. I came here not believing that I could walk a mile and a half, and now I know that I can walk much more than that. I know that I will get off this oxygen. In fact, I've been off of it for the last couple of days. I was unable to climb stairs at a reasonable pace, and now I can climb stairs normally and get there without getting short of breath. Let's see what else is different. Oh, Gary did some energy work on me the other day, and I discovered that I could not follow his meditative direction. I could not make the light go through me. However, in spite of that, the pain in my right side that I used to describe myself as being the old shoe that was given to the teething puppy, because I felt like I was just being chewed up and torn apart. There's no more biting. I still have pain, but that horrible pain is gone and has been since he did that work. And I will be eternally grateful for that. It makes me want to go on. And I made a list of things that I'm going to take with me to implement from this retreat. One, of course, is daily exercise. Number two is minimization of the psychobabble that comes from my TV. The dietary changes and adventures that I'm looking forward to with my gluten-free vegan diet. I will not hold my tongue as much as I have in the past. I'm not going to pick up other people's crosses, but I will offer more empathy to those who are in pain. And the last thing, but the most important thing, is that I'm going to treat myself as the goddess that I am. Thank you, and thank you, Gary.
Hi, my name is Bob. I live in New York State. When I came to Gary's retreat, I had cancer in my kidney. It was about 3 years ago. I never felt really well since then, and also felt a kind of trepidation and fear, a lack of purpose in life, a lack of direction. Spending 1 week here, the energy is just unmeasurably high. Everything, everyone, every experience has been absolutely positive. I no longer feel that I have anything in terms of cancer. My outlook on life has completely changed. I have incredibly more energy. I feel a great purpose and a great peacefulness and a great sense of direction in what I want to do now and in the future. And I don't feel burdened anymore, and I'm sure I will have no problem carrying through. It's been a week that has changed my life. It's been an absolute 180 degrees change in direction, and I am very grateful to Gary, to the staff, and to all the fellow participants in the retreat, because everyone was positive, everyone was great, and it's so refreshing to know that that kind of experience and that kind of spirit and that kind of energy exists.
Hello, I'm KB, and I cannot put into words the amazing and wonderful experience here at Gary Knowles Retreat. I came here physically debilitated, and today I feel 90% better. I'm able to do what I could not do before. I have participated in a race that I never imagined I would have been able to take part in. I would have never had the courage had I not come. I've learned so much, and now I want to be a viable part of my community as a result of the information I've gotten here. This is better than any vacation I could have ever taken anywhere in the world, and I've traveled the world. Now I know that life is about living, and I've learned how to do so here at this retreat. Thank you.
Okay, those are just a few of the testimonials. We're going to start posting all the testimonials on a new website we're creating. I have over 1,000 testimonials like this, and they range from the one woman you heard had end-stage COPD. She doesn't now. Came oxygen, couldn't walk. Walk without oxygen 1.5 miles. And she's a lawyer living in California. And she was a heavy smoker, 52-year smoker. Now she has a whole new lease on life. Anyhow, in January, for 1 week, 1 week only, because that's all I can allow, we're going to do a fundraiser and for the station and help. So if you want to join us, I'm limiting it. It's going to be a smaller retreat. Same number of staff, phenomenal staff, John Tallien, Lindsay Floyd, and all the other wonderful human being, Connie, and our great chefs. Chef, all will be there. And Luann's on the phone now. Luann?
Hello, Gary. Oh, it's so nice to hear everybody. And, the magic happens when people take the time and the energy to come down. Not only are they supporting the station, but they're, our sister station, but they're also supporting their own lives. And I need to make sure it's the right event for each and every person. This is not a social event. This is a personal journey to help people maximize their connections to their authentic selves and to live happier, more prosperous lives on every level. So if you're interested, do give me a call. I do need to interview everyone to make sure it is the right event for you. I've got 4 spaces left, Gary. I filled up that fast. So if people are interested, you can call me at 903-881-7008. Again, 903-881-7008. Let's see if this is the right time for you.
Okay. It's never the right time for people based upon how people get themselves out of balance. The most important message I can share today is if you don't show up for your own transformation, you will have nothing but maladaptation. You'll adapt to it. People could adapt to sleeping on a bed of nails, and they could adapt to jobs they don't like. There comes a time in life, either by being forced to, by circumstances, or by desire, by will, that we decide now is the time for us to take that step and change our lives for the better. And hopefully people realize now is the time for this. We're going to end our program today with Prince EA talking about what we don't do when we don't change and what is possible when we do. Thank you, Luann.
It is not death most people are afraid of. It is getting to the end of life only to realize that you never truly lived. There was a study done, a hospital study, on 100 elderly people facing death close to their last breath. They were asked to reflect about their life's biggest regret. Nearly all of them said they regretted not the things they did, but the things they didn't do, the risks they never took, the dreams they didn't pursue. I ask you, will your last words be, if only I hit, hey, you, wake up. Why do you exist? Life is not meant to simply work, wait for the weekend and pay rent. No, I don't know much, but I know this. Every person on this earth has a gift. And I apologize to the black community, but I can no longer pretend. Martin Luther King, that man never had a dream. That dream had him. See, people don't choose dreams. Dreams choose them. So the question I'm getting to is, do you have the courage to grab the dream that picked you, that befits you and grips you? Or will you let it get away and slip through? You know, I learned a fact about airplanes the other day. Now, this was so surprising, see? I was talking to a pilot, and he told me that many of his passengers think planes are dangerous to fly in. But he said, actually, it is a lot more dangerous for a plane to stay on the ground. I said, what? Like, how does that sound? Well, he said, because on the ground, the plane starts to rust, malfunction, and wear much faster than it ever would if it was in the air. As I walked away, I thought, yeah, makes total sense. Because planes were built to live in the skies. And every person was built to live out the dream they have inside. So it is perhaps the saddest loss to live a life on the ground without ever taking off. See, most of us are afraid of the thief that comes in the night to steal all of our things. But there is a thief in your mind who is after your dreams. His name is Doubt. If you see him, call the cops and keep him away from the kids. Cause he is wanted for murder, for he has killed more dreams than failure ever did. He wears many disguises and like a virus will leave you blinded, divided, and turn you into a kinda. See, kinda is lethal. You know what kinda is. It's a lot of kinda people. You kinda want a career change. You kinda want to get straight A's. You kinda want to get in shape. Simple math, no numbers to crunch. If you kinda want something, then you will kinda get the results you want. What is your dream? What ignites that spark? You can't kinda want that. You gotta want it with every part of your whole heart. Will you struggle? Yeah, you will struggle, no way around it. You will fall many times, but who's counting? Just remember, there's no such thing as a smooth mountain. If you wanna make it to the top, then there are sharp ridges that must be stepped over. There will be times you get stressed and things you get depressed over, but let me tell you something. Steven Spielberg was rejected from film school three times, but he kept going. The television execs fired Oprah, said she wasn't fit for TV, but she kept going. Critics told Beyonce that she couldn't sing. She went through depression, but she kept going. Struggle and criticisms are prerequisites for greatness. That is the law of this universe, and no one escapes it. Because pain is life, but you can choose what type. Either the pain on the road to success, or the pain of being haunted with regret. You want my advice? Don't think twice. We have been given a gift that we call life, so don't blow it. You are not defined by your past. Instead, you are born anew in each moment. So own it now. Sometimes you gotta leap and grow your wings on the way down. You better get this shot off before the clock runs out, cause ain't no overtime in life, no do-over. And I know I sound like I'm preaching or speaking with force, but if you don't use your gift, then you sell not only yourself, but the whole world short. So what invention do you have buried in your mind? What idea, what cure, what skill do you have inside to bring out to this universe? Uni meaning one, verse meaning song. You have a part to play in this song. So grab that microphone and be brave. Sing your heart out on life stage. You cannot go back and make a brand new beginning, but you can start now and make a brand new ending.
And my final thought is simple. The people that you heard, these individuals, all had gone through years of suffering. They adapted to their suffering. They adapted to people saying it won't get better. And then by a family's influence in one case, a friend's in another, their own determination they couldn't suffer any more pain in another, they said, it's now. It's time. We have to know within us that life will be better if we take the opportunity and take the chance to commit ourselves to growth. I'm here to help people on that journey. But it's up to you to say, now's the time. Thank you all for listening and have a nice day.